And I have with my guest, Marco Dishu. And what's your relationship with Dread?
My cousin.
Tell me, what's your thoughts on this memorial and celebration for Dread? Why do you think it's important for us to remember him?
Well, I think it's important, one, because Dread gave his life to his people and the struggle. He dedicated his life to the people in the struggle. And the other thing is that his art and his love for black people throughout the world, he did documentaries on, you know, Africans in Germany, throughout the diaspora. And it's something that we need to know and begin to put into practice in our lives. As this movement moves forward, we're going to have a worldview. And he was one of those people that believed in that, not just about, you know, a social view, but a worldview, you know. And so it's really important.
And they say that they got his, you know, his works and stuff, and they're going to put it in some type of archive. Do you know where that's going to be?
Well, I don't know where it's going to be, but I'm hoping that they actually institutionalize it so people can really know it and get to see it, and it becomes a living document, testament to his work and his people. So I'm hoping that that's what happens.
All right. Thank you. Now.
I am here to represent our cousin, Dred Scott Keys. And we want to thank you for all of your condolences. We thank you for taking time out of your day to come and celebrate his life with us. We're going to have Mimi come to the mic and introduce the first speaker from WBAI.
But not before I tell you what a Wonder Woman Sister Sheila Keys is. You have no idea. You have no idea. The love and the blessings that have been poured into our brother in life and after life. So homages to you, because family is all, really. And it's horrifying to be in the same room with the same kids that were, I was a daycare teacher with you guys. And you're beautiful, and it's wonderful, and you're carrying it on. And I have to just give homage to this church. Yes. Sister Karen Daughtry, Reverend Daughtry, just a moment, when I first met Reverend Daughtry was during what I think was one of the most important struggles in the history of this country, and certainly in this city. That was the community control of school battle, in which this brother, Les Campbell, AKA G2YUSI, Sam Penn, Reverend Daughtry, played major, major roles in a struggle that is still not realized fully, which is the community control of our school movement. But out of that struggle grew things like the East, Uhuru Sasa, and so many of the critical freedom struggles, the emancipatory liberal struggles, and Reverend Daughtry was always in the head of that, and they reached out their hands to the anti-colonial struggles abroad, and this church is truly the home of revolution, self-determination, righteousness, equal rights and justice for people of African ancestry and all people. So we are blessed to be in this house of the Lord's Pentecostal Church under the tutelage of Reverend Daughtry and Sister Karen Daughtry. So thank you for allowing us to be here, and Dred is honored by that. I want to write one thing before I call up Peter Beauchamp. When Jesse Keys took the name Dred Scott Keys, I asked him, I actually did an interview with him, and what I took from it was as follows. Said that Dred Scott Keys assumed the name Dred Scott Keys as a pledge to forever unearth the bitter herb that is life under white supremacy, and then too to depict daily the existence of and resistance freedom struggles as transformative and glorious. He did so as a journalist, a creator of magnificent award-winning sound and videoscapes with the revelatory message of the quest of freedom struggles. The gospel truth, the Sam Cooke story, sweet soul music, the roots of Southern soul music, Malcolm X speaks to the midnight ravers, all were to win awards with National Federation of Community Broadcasters. But I just wanted you to know that, of course, you can surmise why he took that name. But to hear him say that It was that bitter herb of struggle and pain, and it was that revelatory process and the glory of the emancipation and the liberatory struggles, which he went on to depict and we must preserve. So it is an honor to be able to introduce colleagues, friends, comrades who worked with him. And I want to start with Peter Beauchamp, who gave us a gorgeous, as he always does, montage. Unfortunately, we weren't able to hear it, but I promise you will hear it on WBAI. So, Peter Beauchamp.
Well, I remember Dredd at 505 when he was the engineer for the Midnight Ravers, and then he went on and started producing a lot of stuff on his own. I finally remember working with him on the Sam Cooke story with brother Bernard White doing the vocals at BAI, the voiceover, but then we mixed it at my house. And we got to spend a lot of time together. He had gotten some money from the Klein family, who were controlling Sam Cooke's music. But the real thing about that, I wish I could play some of it, was that when Dredd got onto a subject or wanted to educate people, he went everywhere to get that audio. He did a lot on the phone, but he actually went physically to where Sam Cooke grew up, talked to his family, talked to people who knew him, and recorded them all. Then he had this talent to write stuff. He wrote, but he put a lot of time and effort into all his productions, whether it was Sam Cooke, or whether it was working with the Ravers on Bob Marley, or on his own with one of the things he always was talking about was the Magnificent Montague and the history of radio. And he'd have him on talking about where the Burn Baby Burn came from, or a lot of information that he then put into a form that played on WBAI all different years. We started like in the 80s, I guess, with Dredd, and then it went on through 505 to 120 Wall Street, and he was great. And personally, whenever we had anything complicated going on with the band, our bunch of musicians, or we had a remote, Dredd would be the first person I looked for to try to help me get the wires going, set up the mics. We disagreed on how we mix stuff sometimes, and how close we did stuff, but he was always there. When we went to the Museum of Television and Radio, I mean, he sat on one side and I had to go over and talk once in a while, but it was always that. I mean, he was a great, great helper, and a person who would bring in incredible musicians. I mean, I bring up the museum because he got Annie Ballas was just starting out, and he got them to agree to come and perform in front of a live audience. We had just great moments together. And what can I say? I'm gonna miss him.